Chapter 89. We touch at La Dominica, fearful of spending another night at Itaihu. Captain Guy caused the ship to be got underway shortly after dark. The next morning, when all supposed that we were fairly embarked for a long cruise, our course was suddenly altered for La Dominica, or Hivarhu, an island just north of the one we had quitted. The object of this, as we learned, was to procure, if possible, several English sailors, who, according to the commander of the corvette, had recently gone ashore there from an American whaler, and were desirous of shipping aboard one of their own country vessels. We made the land in the afternoon, coming abreast of a shady glen opening from a deep bay, and winding by green denies far out of sight. H hands by the weather main brace, roared the mate, jumping upon the bulwarks, and in a moment the prancing Julia, suddenly arrested in her course, bridled her head like a steed reined in, while the foam flaked under her bows. This was the place where we expected to obtain the men, so a boat was at once got in readiness to go ashore. Now it was necessary to provide a picked crew men the least likely to abscond. After considerable deliberation on the part of the captain and mate, four of the seamen were pitched upon as the most trustworthy, or rather they were selected from a choice assortment of suspicious characters as being of an inferior order of rascality. Armed with cutlasses all round, the natives were said to be an ugly set. They were followed over the side by the invalid captain, who, on this occasion, it seems, was determined to signalize himself. Accordingly, in addition to his cutlass, he wore an old boarding belt, in which was thrust a brace of pistols. They at once shoved off. My friend Long Ghost had, among other things which looked somewhat strange in a ship's forecastle, a capital spy glass, and on the present occasion we had it in use. When the boat neared the head of the inlet, though invisible to the naked eye, it was plainly revealed by the glass, looking no bigger than an eggshell, and the men diminished to pygmies. At last, borne on what seemed a long flake of foam, the tiny craft shot up the beach amid a shower of sparkles. Not a soul was there. Leaving one of their number by the water, the rest of the pygmies stepped ashore, looking about them very circumspectly, pausing now and then hand to ear, and peering under a dense grove which swept down within a few paces of the sea. No one came, and to all appearances everything was as still as the grave. Presently he with the pistols, followed by the rest flourishing their bodkins, entered the wood, and were soon lost to view. They did not stay long, probably anticipating some inhospitable ambush were they to stray any distance up the glen. In a few moments they embarked again, and were soon riding pertly over the waves of the bay. All of a sudden the captain started to his feet, the boat spun round, and again made for the shore. Some 20 or 30 natives armed with spears which through the glass looked like reeds, had just come out of the grove, and were apparently shouting to the strangers, not to be in such a hurry, but return and be sociable. But they were somewhat distrusted, for the boat paused about its length from the beach, when the captain standing up in its head delivered an address in pantomime, the object of which seemed to be that the islanders should draw near. One of them stepped forward and made answer, seemingly again urging the strangers not to be diffident, but beach their boat. The captain declined, tossing his arms about in another pantomime. In the end he said something which made them shake their spears, whereupon he fired a pistol among them, which set the whole party running, while one poor little fellow, dropping his spear and clapping his hand behind him, limped away in a manner which almost made me itch to get a shot at his assailant. Wanton acts of cruelty like this are not unusual on the part of sea captains landing at islands comparatively unknown. Even at the Pomadu group, but a day's sail from Tahiti, the islanders coming down to the shore have several times been fired at by trading schooners passing through their narrow channels, and this too as a mere amusement on the part of the ruffians. Indeed, it is almost incredible, the light in which many sailors regard these naked heathens. They hardly consider them human. But it is a curious fact that the more ignorant and degraded men are, the more contemptuously they look upon those whom they deem their inferiors. All powers of persuasion being thus lost upon these foolish savages, and no hope left of holding further intercourse, the boat returned to the ship. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.